You're telling me that most people can't cut out $400 or $500 a month in their lifestyle spending, and they're bitching about saying they can't get into investment properties because rates are too high. I'm like, really? I'm not buying it. What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore, and I'm here with my main man, Mr. Big D Savulich, for a segment of Whiskey Wednesday. And this is our short, sweet, to-the-point episodes. We're going to talk about a couple things going on in our world, a couple things that are trending in the short-term rental investing world, and then we're going to answer some of your questions. So always as a reminder in these episodes, whatever platform you're watching or listening to us on, make sure you DM us and let us know the questions that you have, and we'll make sure that we answer them on an upcoming episode. Dave, you always have our topics and everything ready. So
let's go.
What do we got on the, today? What are we talking about?
Starting to get a little nice weather around here in Utah, kind of itching to get out of that cold weather. I'll tell you, I don't typically get too excited about, you know, getting out of the winter, but man, this year I'm done here. I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready for it. So as the summer approaches, what, tell me one thing you're excited about for the summer. Oh. Like what event? What was there one event that you're like, man,
you know, I'm excited about that. We bought a new house in September and we've never had a pool. So this house has a pool. We're putting in the pasture for the animals and everything else. And so this summer, I'm really excited to get everything set up. You know, we're going to get back into the horses and get the horses coming. And we're a couple weeks away from having the fencing done. And so this summer, I'm really excited to just kind of hang out. We've got a nice little setup that we haven't ever had before. So it'll be our first summer to kind of enjoy that. And so I'm looking forward to that. What's on the agenda for you that you're stoked about?
So yeah, that's a good question. I think mostly just being together as a family. My son's been gone for a couple of years in Argentina. So he gets home here fairly quickly in the next 6 weeks or so. And then, I got a daughter that just got engaged to get married. So this is her last summer at home. And then we got another one going off to college. So I think we just spend all of us together one last hurrah this summer. So spend time together.
Like that. You know what I mean? You guys do have a big summer. Yeah. Everybody's, you know, all these life changes and everything else. Yeah. It's going to be exciting.
Ask me a year from now.
Right.
And maybe I'll be depressed. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll be celebrating. I don't know.
Yeah. You and Kelly, hey, you're going to be empty nesters like all at once. Exactly. Like it's like you kind of one at a time, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly. It just works out that all three are going to be gone literally within 3 months of each other. Yeah. The whole house can be empty.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, we might be drinking a little more whiskey than normal. Yeah, you might switch from Diet Coke. You might go from Coke Zero to whiskey with me.
I might be single. I mean, Kelly may say, I can't do this.
I can't do it anymore.
I got to have somebody else around here.
I doubt it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So needless to say, I'm excited. I love the warm weather. I love putting shorts on, the sun. You know what I mean? So. Yeah,
I get so antsy this time of year, especially because we kind of flirt with it. We'll get a day that's 70 and then we'll get a day that's snowing. Yeah. And it's like back and forth for us. And we're like, come on, just give me some good weather.
Utah summers they're the best because hot in the day and then it cools down at night, especially where you're at, dude, you're going to love those cool evenings. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. By 7 o'clock, it's going to cool down and. Oh man,
it'll be fun. Yeah, I'm excited. Awesome. That's why I live here in Utah is the summers. Yeah, really, people think it's for the skiing and I'm like, no, I don't ski. I live by the ski resorts. Yeah. I don't ski. Yeah. I like watching them, but I love all four seasons. But summertime, I just love the barbecues and the hanging out and just that's what I look forward to in the summer. Not any big events necessarily, we've got a few things lined up, but it's. Right. I'm just looking to
a few trips and stuff. We'll give you a little update in the summer here. Once we get things going, give you an idea of what we've been up to. So let's jump in. So topic today we're going to talk about is housing affordability. You know, that's a big topic in today's world, especially with real estate investing, with short-term rentals, with, my daughter's getting married. She's, deciding, does she rent? Does she buy a home? How does she get into that? So year over year, it obviously changes and adjusts with interest rates and different things. But I think if you look at the trend over the last 10 years, 20 years, it'd just be interesting to kind of dive into that. And what does it look like today versus what we maybe when we bought houses? Probably pretty similar to the amount of money we made We make more now than we did back then. Houses are more now than they were back then. I don't know. Kind of give me some of your thoughts on that.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Let's just talk like we'll like kind of remove the investment aspect of it because, but it's all very, very relative. When you look at real estate in general, like I just heard that in all 50 major markets across the U.S., it's cheaper now to rent than to buy.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, you know, you got a daughter that's going to be getting married and they've got to make a decision on where they're going to live. You know, I just have a hard time thinking that it's a good idea to be a lifetime renter. Right. And I just, right. you know, from my personal experience, from what we went through, from when you look at the statistics of the wealth in America, you know, that most of the wealth that people have in America is held in their primary residence, right? That's right. where they have, yeah. that's where their wealth is held. It's not in the stock markets. It's not in savings account. It's in homes. There's something to that, right? And we hear about housing affordability and how it's tough to buy right now. Prices are high. Interest rates are high. Inventory is low. Like there's all these things stacked against us. I think I heard a week or two ago that this year you have to make 12% more in income this year to buy a house and have the same affordability index as a year ago.
Wow.
You know, so that's a big deal. That is most a big people deal. Aren't getting 12%
no,
raises, right?
Not so 12% raise.
So we hear a lot about that. I always think that no matter when you buy, no matter especially if it's your first home, especially when you're starting off, and especially if it's your first investment, it's all relative, right? It's a sacrifice. It's a commitment to say, hey, like, am I going to sacrifice other things in my life to be able to make this happen? Right. My first house, I remember when Teresa and I, we bought our first house, interest rates were at 9.5%. They were, in fact, I remember they dipped below 10%. My dad is like, if they dip below 10%, you lock in. And you lock in, right? And it was, our house was $115,000. I was making $31,000. Teresa was making 15 to 20. And so, you know, our payment on that house was like $1,500 a month. I was bringing home maybe $2,800. And by the time I paid my house payment, time I paid my car payments and food and utilities, there's no money. I mean, we were month to month. I mean, if we were lucky, it was like paycheck to paycheck. So it was a sacrifice back then, no different than it would be like, you know, Sierra in Madden, they're going to get married and they're going to be making that decision. I've got a niece and nephew that are getting married this year. And they're saying, what should we do? You know, what do you think? I think the hard part is, and you and I talk about this just as a dad, you're like, man, I don't want them to, you know, bite off more than they can chew, put them in a bad position. And the hard part is, you know, we've been really fortunate in our lives to be in a position that our kids are living, you know, they're not living in poverty, let's say, right? And they live a certain lifestyle.
Well,
and
they're used to that lifestyle.
And they're used to
that's the challenge.
And that's not going to stay. So they have to look in the mirror and say, am I willing to sacrifice to start something different? I remember
to start building that real estate in, you know, investment that they're going to buy.
You're paying a mortgage regardless.
Right.
Either somebody else's and maybe they have a lower interest rate so you can pay a little bit less, but you're paying somebody's mortgage, yours or somebody else's. Paying yours, I always think is a better idea because even if it costs you a little bit more, even if it takes you a little more sacrifices, that property is going to go up in value. Over the last 40 or 50 years, I think we've had 7 down years in real estate where real estate didn't go up in value. And one of those was a zero sum year. So it was just kind of even. And so, I mean, chances are pretty dang good that you're going to start building the equity. You're going to start to see that asset appreciate and you're starting to, you know, those sacrifices will pay off. Maybe you do pay a little bit more than you could rent, right? Yeah. You could probably rent a nicer house than you can buy right now for the same price. Long-term, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, when you go to trade up, you're going to be in a much better position, I believe. And so, and it's the same as that first investment property. Everybody is like, well, what happens when, you know, right now it's tough to cash flow. A lot of properties are breaking even. I always say buy quality assets, look for quality. The ownership model is what we always preach. We don't do any arbitrage stuff. We don't do any co-hosting because we see the value in owning properties. Yep. And so is it harder at times? Yes. But guess what? You date the rate. We always hear that. Date the rate. And because you're not married, you marry the property, you date the rate. You're married, you buy a quality asset. When the rates do come down, all of a sudden you're in a really good position. Teresa and I bought our first property, you know, $115,000. We're barely, every single month we're out of money. By the time the paycheck came, we're like, holy crap, finally we got a paycheck and it's gone, right? I mean, it's a sacrifice. For almost a year, I was telling you, we sat on Home Depot buckets. We'd flip them upside down. We had a card table that was like this, you know, the fold-out legs on the card table. Yeah. That was our kitchen table. Home Depot buckets were our, and then we would just spend our money on paint and stuff when we could. And but 2 or 3 years, rates started coming down in the sevens and the sixes, and we refinanced. It felt like I got a raise, but I was used to paying a little bit more.
Right.
And so my budgeting was like, okay, I've got this extra money. Instead of going and spending it, we started putting it in investment properties, things like that. That property went up in value. When rates drop, properties typically go up in value too.
You decide to sell.
We sold it. We take that money. We put it into another property. Our property number two was a way better house and way nicer situation. And we put all that money into it, and my payment was less.
Yeah.
And so we're parlaying it up.
Yeah.
If I was a renter and I rented at that time, 3 years from now, my rent, I'm paying more than I did the first
time.
And I still don't own anything.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I don't know. It's a tough conversation because I think the sacrifices are worth it. And we talk to investors all the time about this stuff. And it's the same exact conversation. Yeah. It's like, listen, you are going to have to sacrifice. You are going to have to cut other things out. You are going to have to make, lifestyle changes, right? We're not going to be able to go out to eat all the time. We're not going to be able to go. You and I were talking, I remember, we would get boxes of Top of Ramen and we'd get eggs, right?
Oh,
and it was like Top of Ramen.
It went from Top Ramen, simple. You throw an egg in, it's like gourmet.
It was like we're having a steak dinner that night. You throw a couple eggs in.
Honey, you want Top Ramen? You want Top Ramen with egg.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I'm going to have the egg tonight.
But I mean, that's what you did. And so, but you look back and you're like, I think like our kids, they would be like, that's what you want me to do?
They're
used to
a different lifestyle. Mm-hmm. They're used to eating it. We ate at McDonald's and now they want to have sushi. And so you're right, but it's about sacrifice and commitment. And what are your priorities? If your priorities are you want this end goal and you want to go down this path, then you can achieve it. It's just a matter of making it a priority.
Exactly. And that's what I think too. So let's say you're buying your first investment property. Let's say rates are affecting your payment by $400 or $500 a month. You're telling me that most people can't cut out $400 or $500 a month in their lifestyle spending.
Yeah.
And they're bitching about saying they can't get into investment properties because rates are too high. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
sorry, yeah. I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, we're buying properties like crazy right now. We're partnering on properties. I mean, look at our inbox right now. On the properties we're partnering on and getting into. And it's like, there's deals out there. Yeah. Now, do we have to make sacrifices to make them happen? Heck yeah. Every property we buy, we make a sacrifice. You have to say, I'm going to use that money and that time and that commitment toward that instead of something else.
Right. And hard work. You got to set it up. You got to create the experience. You got to take the right photos. You got to do all those things. But at the end, it's awesome. And then you've created this amazing real estate investment that you can, enjoy. So
there is one thing that can make or break your success with short-term rentals, and that's your ability to provide your guests with an amazing night's rest. We're taking all of the guesswork out of selecting the perfect mattress system. Personally, I have these custom mattresses in every one of my short-term rentals. We love them so much that we even got them in our own personal homes here in Utah. So visit VodiceySleepSystem.com and use the promo code podcast. It's all caps at checkout to get 55% off.
We got a couple of really good questions today. And I'll preface this by saying, we're not giving any legal advice or any tax advice because we're not a lawyer or a tax.
Some serious ones that come.
We're not an accountant. No. So you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Okay. So, but we did have a good question from Mel. Mel's a prospective Vodacy new member. He's thinking about joining Vodacy and he had a question for one of our strategy coaches. And I thought it'd be good to kind of address it, but he has some money in his savings account. And, but he also has a family member that may inherited some money. So his question is, can he be gifted money in an annual amount in a calendar year? And does he have to pay taxes on it and so forth? So I know, at least back years ago, I thought it was like a $25,000 limit per household or per couple that you could have in a calendar year that you didn't have to pay taxes on. It was a gift. And so I'm assuming that is still in place. I don't know the exact details, but really what I want everybody to know is make sure you get the right advice, but there are some great options out there, especially if you have the ability to get capital.
And this one is I don't know the answer, the exact answer to this. This is why every Thursday we have a coaching call. We have coaching calls every single day of the week. On Thursdays, we bring our CPAs in, right? And we ask them these things because those things do change. There are estate tax implications. You can gift a certain amount. Sometimes it's a lifetime amount. Sometimes it's an annual amount. There's family gifts that you can give people up to a certain amount that's tax-free. There are gifting tax, you know, rules in place, right, and you can have certain amount. I don't know what that is, to be honest. Yeah. And so I'm not, you know, I've actually never been gifted any money, so I don't know. I wish I knew the answer to that.
That's a good point. We were trust fund babies, so that's okay. We worked for it.
I wish I knew the answer to that.
But, exactly.
I do know that there are, you know, whether that the estate that is, or the person that's gifting it to you, whether they're paying an estate tax and then they can gift it tax-free, is it tax-free to you?
Yep.
You really want to talk to a CPA on that.
But I think your point is super valid, is making sure you have the right advice. Going into anything that you invest in is understanding all the details, all the ramifications, all the information that will help you decide what the best route is for you. If you have ability to get capital, make sure that you're doing it the right way. Make sure that you get with a CPA or a lawyer or somebody who understands it, and they'll be able to guide you. And our CPA every Thursday, Mike Pine, he's amazing. He jumps on and answers questions for our members. It's an amazing coaching call that they have. Literally can jump on every week. There's, I don't know, between 10 and 15 people on there. So you can get one-on-one support. It's awesome.
With one of the best in the business in America, in my opinion, the expert of short-term rentals.
And that's the key too. He's just not a tax advisor. He understands short-term rentals. He plays in the game. He owns, he's a part of this community. So it's awesome.
And I think that is the key point there is we bring on experts all the time. We are not, you know, the expert in anything or everything that has to do with investing. We bring on the best CPAs. We bring on the best attorneys. We bring on the best designers. We bring on the best lenders. We bring on the best photographers and optimization experts. We bring on the best marketing experts, right? We have a dream team that we put together, and there are certain buckets when you have questions like this, we tap into them, right? It makes you feel really, really good when you're navigating rough waters, when you've got a team built like that. Yeah. And so as you're diving in, Mel, I would make sure that you get that answered, because what a great resource, what a great option, right? And if you know how to navigate that and navigate the gifts where it's not, there's no taxes to you or the person gifting it, and you're able to, you know, put that money to use some other way, and you're able to save on the tax and then buy an asset that helps you actually save taxes on your active income, all those other things that you're doing, man, talk about being able to really accelerate your progress.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Last question. It's along similar lines. Are there limitations on home loans per person or per household? So for a short-term rental, second home vacation, are how many is a couple or a person allowed to have?
Yeah. So if it's a traditional, you know, Fannie Freddie type product, it's 10, you're allowed to have 10.
So they can have 10. So they can have 10 second homes. You can buy 10 short-term rentals aside from your personal house.
Okay. Now, these are full doc loans, right? So you have to qualify for every single one of them, right? You have to qualify without income from the property. Now, you could have some that are creating income and bringing in income, and you've had them more than a year, you filed taxes on them. That can help offset some of that, right? That debt to income can be offset, but you've got to be able to qualify for every single one of those loans. When sometimes, if you're a husband and a wife, could you get 10 in the husband's name and 10 in the wife's names? Possibly, but the wife and the husband each have to qualify separately, probably file taxes separately. Most married couples don't do that. They file jointly. Yeah. And so usually it's together. Now, again, there are portfolio products. There are other types of loans that don't have any limitations, right? You get a DSCR loan or an investment type product that is a portfolio loan. That bank might not have any limitations to how many you can have. And so, you know, you hear limits on stuff, and a lot of people hear a limit on a loan, and which might be true for one loan product, but they assume that it is across the board, and that's what it is for a second home loan or investment product. You might have a portfolio second home loan that a lender's talking to you about, and they say, you can only have 5 of these. You only have 2 of these. Maybe you can only get 2 of those types of loans. I know of a portfolio second home loan that you can get 2 of. If I say 2, right, and then you think, well, I can't do that, there you really need to talk to your lender what type of loan product you're getting, what type of loan product options you have, because you may have no limits, you may have 1 or 2 that you can get. And so there's not an answer that's across the board. And I think the big mistake that a lot of people make, especially in our world where you hear give advice online and you hear people talking about different things, is they might be talking about one particular product and they make it sound like that's the case across the board, and it's not. So you have to really dive in and understand there's lots of different loan products. There's lots of different criteria on how you have to qualify for and what they're looking for, how many you can have, and really talk to those lenders to figure out what the right product is for you as you build your portfolio.
Right. It's not a blanket statement.
No.
And a blanket, you know, opportunity. So I always tell people the same thing. Depending on your W-2, depending on your credit score, depending on, you know, a lot of different things, make sure you are individually looking at your situation with an expert that can give you good advice and really dive that in. And that's why we have these conversations, because we know enough to be dangerous but we don't like to get in the weeds, because we go to those same experts to get the same information and same advice.
Because it changes too, right?
Exactly.
I might be talking to a lender last year and then I'm back in acquisition phase now a year later. I need to still be up to speed because those portfolio products change, the lending requirements change depending on the environment out there. So there's a lot of different things. And that's why you have really good experts that you can talk to that can give you good advice. And a good expert I don't know any lender that has every product available. But they're pretty, you know, somebody that's in the game and is knowledgeable about the game, they're going to understand a lot of the products available and they're going to talk to you about what they have, but they're also going to be able to point you in the direction if there's other products that would fit your needs too. And that's what I love about really good experts is they might not even be able to help you, but they're going to be able to point you and say, here's all of the things you want to consider.
Good advice. Well, I appreciate it. That's all we got for today.
That's it.
Great episode. Hopefully everybody enjoyed it. And thanks for all the advice and insights on
that. All right. We'll wrap this one up. You guys, we always appreciate spending your time with us. We know how valuable it is. And so at the end of every episode, I ask you two favors. The first one is, if you did like these episodes and you do have somebody that you think might be wanting to dive into the short-term rental game, walk in with their eyes wide open, hear these types of conversations, share the show. Those things help us a lot in the platforms that you're watching or listening on. If you have more than 30 seconds, give us a review, give us a thumbs up, and leave us your thoughts on these episodes. And always as a reminder too, if you have questions, DM us on those platforms that you're watching or listening on. We'll make sure that we answer your questions on an upcoming episode. And the final and most important thing that I always ask you at the end of every episode is pick that one thing you can do today to start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends. Cheers, brother.
Cheers, buddy.